my name. I tried to run, but still you came. And you stepped into the dark. That's just the kind of God you are. When heaven seems beyond my reach, you still see eternity in me. You're turning ashes into art. That's just the kind of God you are. It's in the empty tomb. It's on the rugged cross. Your testifying love is written in your scars. You'll never quit on me. You'll always hold my heart. 'Cause that's the kind of God you are. Freedom from my sin. You told me I could start again. All the hurt and debt is gone. Now we're your daughters and your sons. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. We once were lost, but now we're found. Forever you hold us in your arms, 'cause that's just the kind of God you are. It's in the empty tomb, it's on the rugged cross. Your testifying love is written in your scars. You'll never quit on me, you'll always hold my heart, 'cause that's the kind of God to run, but still you came.
into the dark. But that's just the kind of God you are.
Please see the foyer in the back, or bulletin board in the back here, for locations and times. Tomorrow there will be a deacons meeting at 7 p.m. July 14th, we will be having a business meeting and a potluck beginning at 6 p.m. On July 14th, the youth will also be eating lunch here at the church, and then we will be going to Fayetteville, to Trampoline Park. For those kids that want to go, if you'd like to go to that, please see me or Erica and get a permission slip. And then you also might want to bring some money if you want to get some snacks and stuff there. And then after we get done there, we'll be coming back here, and we encourage those youth kids to attend the business meeting as well. July 21st, we'll be having session two of our small group Bible study on Jonah. On the 28th, we'll be doing our Bible study and prayer here at the church at 6 p.m. And then July 30th, there'll be a nominating committee meeting at 7 p.m. The nominating committee consists of deacons, officers, and chairman of committee. All right, I believe that's all the announcements. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray. Thank you for this day, and thank you for this week. We had to spend time with friends and family, God. Thank you just for the blessings you give us. God, I pray for Brother Wade and the message he brings us today. God, give us the ears. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Don. This is our first Sunday of the month of July, and as such, we need to recognize birthdays and anniversaries. So if you're here this morning and planning on celebrating a birthday in the month of July, please come forward. All right. Oh, we'll wait for you, Russell. Anniversary in July? All right. No one popping up. Oh, you coming in? Okay, good, cool. The raise. All right. All right, let's sing. Happy anniversary.
Lord, bless that name. Every season you're the same.
Now you may be seated. While our fellows are coming forward to take the offering, I'm looking out and not seeing the possibilities of any first-time visitors. Looks like some people are on vacation this morning. So welcome anyway, those of you who are here. One of our men will come down and lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have to come and worship you in our tithes and offerings. And I just pray, Father, that as we take these tithes and offerings, that we'll be with cheerful hearts. What a joy it is to worship you with what you've blessed us with. And Father, we just ask that you bless the gift and the giver. And we just love you and thank you for your many blessings. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I found out that Julius Caesar had went up to a street vendor to buy hot dogs. And they said, "How many do you need?" And he said, "I'll take five." I'll let y'all think on that one. All right. I was up here with some folks for birthdays in July, and I had to wonder something for the July birthdays. You know, I hear of people that all the time they feel like they missed something in their childhood, they were deprived of something, and I always felt like with a July birthday, the only thing I really probably missed was the school birthday party. Did anybody else, you didn't ever get to have a school birthday party? You know, everybody else would get all the cake and all the fun time, and we never had that. I don't know that I really felt deprived that I didn't have that, but I realized, hey, I'm never going to get to have that because no matter how many snow days we have, we don't go to school in July. So anyway, what I did have, though, was probably better, is all my birthdays growing up, or the ones I remember growing up mostly, Grandpa would always take me fishing for my birthday. And we had some pretty good fishing trips over the years on that. So anyway, I guess we are going to talk a little bit about fishing this morning. So if you have your Bibles and want to get to the verses or where we're at, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 this morning for our text, and then we'll look in Hebrews 11 later. But we'll go ahead and read Luke chapter 5, 1 through 6 this morning. If everybody stand with me. It says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had gone, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking." If you all join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do again thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We just thank you for the blessing of rain that you sent the other day, and just all the other blessings that you pour out. Lord, I do pray that you be with those that are traveling on vacation or for whatever reason today and this week, that you would watch over them as they travel. Lord, we lift up those that are on the prayer list that are just needing your healing hand or your hand of comfort. Lord, we ask that you be with them. And I ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, so I've also figured out, even with the bigger font and changing the screen, I still can't see back there very well. So that might be because of what's happening later this month. So getting older. So anyway. Well, we see here that Jesus was at the lake and he was teaching. And seeing the boats, he wanted to get in one. And, you know, I've got down here, why? It's because who doesn't want to be in a boat, right? You know, life is good in a boat. But no, he wanted to get in the boat so that his voice would carry, and I would assume, and it would give him the distance from the folks from a practical standpoint. So he gets in to the boat, and he's speaking to everyone, he's speaking to this group. But the first thing I want to point out here is that don't let the situation determine the outcome. You know, he finds himself here. He's there next to the water, and he says, "Let's go into the boats." And then he says to Peter, he says, "Hey, go ahead and kick off to the deep water and cast down your nest." And Peter says, "Master, we've been fishing all night, and we haven't had any luck. We just haven't caught anything. We know what we're doing. We've been doing it all night, and we haven't had any luck. Or we haven't been productive, if you will." Have you ever been at the end of unproductive work, and you got it all cleaned up, and you're all done, and then there was some reason that you had to dirty it back up? You know, maybe it's just as simple as you got the whole kitchen cleaned and then someone wants to eat a snack. Or maybe it's that you thought you were done and you found out you wasn't quite done. And now you've got everything put away and you realize, oh, I've got to do that one more thing, and you got to dig stuff back out. You know, there's just a sad feeling to that sometimes whenever you've got to redo. And, you know, as we see, or we're going to see here, there's a blessing coming their way, but they already put up all the nets, right? They already cleaned everything up. So don't let the situation that you're in, just because it doesn't make sense, if you will, don't let it keep us from doing what we should be doing. You know, they were tired. They were ready to quit. They were ready to be done. And it seems like to me that's often the way things are, that we let our situation determine what we're willing to do or what we think we can do. You know, here's another one. How many of you have the "if it ain't broke, don't fix it" mentality? Just me? I didn't see any hands, so. I got a few honest people. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I really like that whenever I'm working with machines or working with equipment. If it's not broke, I don't want to go messing with it, you know, if it's working good. And I think that's great whenever we're doing something mechanically or whatever. I think that's a good concept maybe. That doesn't mean don't maintenance it, right? But don't go messing with it if it's working. But I think that's a bad concept whenever we're working with non-material things, if you will, especially sometimes spiritual things. You know, we need to identify those things that are working, but how do we improve? Do y'all ever look for ways to improve whatever you're doing? How can we shave some time? How can we make it better? Are we responsive to the situation? And here the Lord's telling him, he said, go out to the deep water. You know, launch out into the deep to catch these fish. That, from all my fishing, you know, that I know, all the most of the fish, I think that's like an 80-20 rule or something like that, or a 90-10 rule, where 90% of the fish are in 10% of the water, and that's always the shallow water around the edges. You know, at least the fish you're going to catch. And my understanding is it's similar in the ocean, that the deep water is not where you catch the fish. It's in the shallower water that you catch the fish. So from a fishing standpoint, one knows that this doesn't make a whole lot of sense from a fishing standpoint, that you're going to cast out into the deep water to catch the fish because they're usually feeding in the shallower water. But regardless, he has said, go out and do it. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, so whenever the Lord tells us to do something that doesn't make sense, like he's telling Peter something that doesn't necessarily make sense because they've been fishing all night, they've not caught any fish. I mean, in my mind, the fish weren't biting, you know. Now, I know that they weren't fishing with poles. They were casting nets. So I, however you do that, I guess the fish don't have to bite for that, but they do have to be feeding or going and grouping up where you can catch them, right? And he's saying that, you know, he's saying go ahead and do it again. Now, I'm also going to assume a little bit here that they were fishing at night because that's whenever they catch the fish. And they've been doing it all night. And now we see that this group is gathered. This obviously is no longer night. It's not the right time of day. It's not the right place. And it's the wrong day to do it because they're just not running. But the Lord says, go launch out into the deep to catch the fish. How many times does the Lord call us to do something that doesn't make sense? And against all of our knowledge, he's saying, go launch out into the deep and do something that just isn't going to work. And you say, Lord, I'll sure be willing to do that thing that doesn't make sense, right? Sometimes we come up with excuses, right? We come up with ways, we say, well, now, hold on, Lord. You know, and my favorite one, I think I've mentioned this before, is well, let me pray about that, right? That says, hey, let me delay this until I can find up another excuse to say no to what you're calling me to do. And Peter said, but we've been doing it all night. We've been toiling. We're tired. You know, when we're working, doing what the Lord tells us to do, we should be working on faith, with faith, and in faith, right? If he's telling us to do it, there's a reason. even if we don't see it, and if it doesn't make sense. And like I said, it doesn't make sense from our understanding. But you know, it doesn't take any faith to hold the shallow water. You know, there's a saying that I like that says all shallows are clear. You know, if you get shallow enough, it's really clear. You can see the bottom. And it doesn't matter which lake you're in. If you get shallow enough, you can see the bottom. Some lakes, that's 25, 30 foot. Some lakes, that's 2 or 1, right? But all the shallows are clear. It's whenever you go into the deep water that when things get deep, you can't always see what's down below, and you kind of got to have some faith. But he's calling him to go into the deep, to launch out further. You know, from the history tells us that the Vikings would tell people that there were sea monsters out into the deep. There was these unknown things out in the deep to scare people to stay to the shallows. Right? Because they were going out and they were discovering things that was out there they didn't want other people to discover. So they would spread the tales of this horrible accidents, horrible things out into the deep water. And because of that, everyone would keep to the shallows around the shoreline. And I wonder how often does fear keep us from going out into the deep, exploring the things that the Lord calls us to do, experiencing the better things because we're scared, or worse, we have the fear that hinders us and keeps us to shallow thinking and shallow waters. You know, I think Satan works on us to keep us safe. I think he wants to keep us safe. That's one of those words that I really don't like the word safe, because I think we overuse it and we worry about it too much and we focus on safety too much. And again, that might be great if you're running a bandsaw, right? But it's not very good in your Christian life to play it safe. In our spiritual life, to always play it safe is going to hinder us to shallow waters. We're not going to get out to where it takes faith. It's not going to get us out there where we may experience things that that don't happen in the shallow thinking and the shallow waters. It keeps us too scared, like I say, to explore what God has for us out there. You know, I think safe is dangerous. Is that kind of an oxymoron? I think safe is dangerous to our spiritual growth. But so is too tired. Lord, I'm just too tired. And that's what Peter's saying, right? He isn't worried about his safety, but he's just worried about being too tired. How often are we too tired to make it to the ball game or to the concert or to the whatever? But it's really easy sometimes to be too tired to do whatever the Lord calls us to do. Maybe it's as simple as coming to church. We're too tired to come to church. But we're not too tired to make those other things. I think it's easy for me to find an excuse when I'm looking for one. Amen? If I'm looking for an excuse, it doesn't really matter what it is. And, you know, Brother Tom Woods, he had a story, and I remember this from when I was real little. He said this guy went over to his neighbor's house. He knocked on the door, and he said, I really need to borrow your axe. He said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't loan you my axe tonight. We're having apple pie for supper. And the guy looked at him and says, okay, and he goes back home. And the next night he comes over, he knocks on the door, and he says, hey, I really need to borrow your axe. He said, well, I can't loan you my axe tonight because we're having peach pie for supper. And the guy looks confused, but he goes off. And he comes back the next night, and he knocks on the door, and he says, hey, he said, I really want to borrow your axe. And he says, I'm sorry, but we're having cherry pie tonight, and I just can't loan you my axe. And the guy looked at him and says, I keep hearing what you're having for pie, you know, what pie you're having. He said, but I don't understand what that has to do with me borrowing your axe. He says, oh, it has nothing to do with it, but I figure one excuse is as good as another, right? You know, it doesn't always even have to make sense. We just make up an excuse so we can say, Lord, this, because I don't want to do that. And I've always remembered that story because when I'm trying to come up with excuses, they kind of need to make sense, don't they? And they need to be a reason, not an excuse. And if it's not a reason, it is an excuse. The second thing that we see here, I think, in this text is that we have to trust His Word. Because it doesn't make sense, or it doesn't have to make sense, we have to trust His Word. Peter had his excuses that he threw out there. He says, I'm tired, it's the wrong time, it's the wrong place, it's, you know, quitting time, I'm ready to go home. But then he had the most important word. He said, nevertheless, at your word. Right? Where do we get to that point where we say, Lord, this makes no sense whatsoever, but nevertheless, because you told me to do it, that's all that really matters. Have you been there? Have you ever said, nevertheless, Lord, at your word? I hope you have. I hope all of us can say, there was a time the Lord told me to do something that made absolutely no sense to me, and I did it anyway. And if you can say that, I guarantee you, you have a, and then this happened story. You know, if you haven't, we've been stuck to the shallows. If you can't say that happened, you've been stuck in the shallows. And I think that keeps us from ever really getting to live by faith whenever we don't have the nevertheless. You know, but the nevertheless here denotes that Peter didn't really want to, but he was willing to. You know, it wasn't like he was excited about it. And I don't think we always have to get excited when the Lord calls us to do something. I don't think that's as important as doing it. You know, Jesus tells the parable about the two sons, and the one, you know, the dad says, hey, I need you guys to go do this. And the one says, hey, I'll do it. I'll get right on it. And the other one says, eh. And the one that says he'll get right on it doesn't go do it. I'm paraphrasing here, if you didn't notice. The one that says he'll do it, never done it. And the one that wasn't so sure went ahead and done it. And he says, which one of them followed the will of the Father? We don't always have to have the greatest attitude necessarily. It's more important than we have the action. We don't have to have the motivation to say, hey, I'm really excited about doing this thing that doesn't make sense. It's more important than we do it. Now, that's not saying that we don't need to have a good attitude and do it. I mean, that's the preferred way, but if we're only going to do the one, doing what he calls us to do is way more important than saying we're going to do it and not ever getting into the deep water. So like I said, it denotes that he didn't really want to do it, but he says, because you told me and because of who you are, I'll try it. Right? That's what he's implying here. He's saying, because at your word, right? He's saying, because you're the one that told me. If someone else would have told me, I'd be headed home, but you told me to do it. How important is that to us whenever he's calling us to do it? Is it because we know that if he told us, we believe that there's going to be power behind it? You know, we have to launch out into the deep in order to step out in faith. We have to try things that don't make sense. We have to try things sometimes that are a different way. But it's only going to work if he's calling us to do it. You know, we've done some fishing here in this week with Colt being up and stuff. We've done a bit of fishing. And I don't know about y'all, but anybody that ever used a bait caster, unless you're a lot better than I am with a bait caster, every now and then you get a little backlash going on. And I have found that the way to get the backlash out is, for me anyway, I turn around and I cast out into the deep water, and then I pick it out and I get it all straightened back up and I reel it in. And I think about it as I'm reeling it in. Now, I'm not really fishing it, but I'm reeling it in. And I've never caught a fish that I can remember casting on the wrong side of the boat out in the deep water. Now, I've straightened up a lot of fishing line, but I've never caught a fish. Because the reason I'm doing it is because I'm working out a backlash, not because the Lord said, hey, cast over there where it doesn't make sense. Amen. just because we think, hey, you know, that happened once to Peter. You know, he cast it out of the deep water. He done something that didn't make sense. So I'm going to do something that doesn't make sense. That's not the message here, amen? You know, it's at his word. He has to call us to do something that doesn't make sense to us. We can't just go out and do something silly and say, oh, that worked out. That was the Lord. You know, or that didn't. You get what I'm saying. You know, why, you know, we, like I say, we have to do it at his word, with his word, and for his glory. And if we're not doing it for those purposes, we're really not doing it for his purpose. If it's not glorifying his kingdom, advances his kingdom, we're not really being called to do it. But if we do know that it's at his word, and we're doing it with his word, and it's for his glory, we know that the third thing that's going to be true here is if we respond to the call, we're going to get a bonus catch. Right? We're going to get blessed. And our verses here, Luke 5:7-11 says, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. So they went out at his word, and they not only did they catch fish, but they caught more than they could handle. They were abundantly blessed, so much that they had to signal the other boat to come out. Remember, there was two boats? They had to signal the other boat to come out to help them. And then they were both overflowing with fish, and they were both about to sink. You see, because when we step out on faith, when we're daring enough to launch out in the deep because the Lord tells us to, it's not only going to bless us, but it's going to bless those others around us. It's going to spill over. It's going to be more than what we can handle. And we may have to call for help. You know, Jesus knew that there was more boats. He knew this was going to happen. It wasn't a surprise to him. And when he calls us to do something, he's not surprised by the outcome. Whatever he calls us to do, he can see down the road. He knows what's going to happen. You know, Peter had more faith because of this. Because he stepped out in faith, it grew his faith. Like I said, other people's was blessed. He was blessed. And this was the act, if you will, that we see Peter, James, and John, they become the disciples of Jesus here. They forsook all else and followed him, right? Because they were willing to step out into the deep water. They were blessed, but they also were even more blessed because they've seen who Jesus was. And if we stick to the shallows, we don't ever really experience who Jesus is. We don't really see the power that he has, how awesome he truly is. We might know about him. We might be able to talk about him. We might have even said we hung out with him for a little bit. You see, they could have said all that. They could even repeated things that he said. But they wouldn't have really seen who he was if they hadn't have stepped out or floated out into the deep as it is. You know, they went, like I say, from listening to the words that he had to say to truly following him. You know, think back to a time, if you will, this morning, to a time that you surrendered your will to his will. You know, can you think of a time where you said, Lord, I'm gonna surrender to your will? You know, Peter here, he had to be submissive to what Christ said. He had to say, Lord, even though it doesn't make sense, I'm going to do it. because our pride, I think, gets in our way so often. Our pride wants us to be in control. It wants our knowledge, our experiences. We want to say, hey, I know how this works. And our pride gets in the way whenever the Lord tells us to do something, because we know that if we relinquish control, well, we've relinquished control, right? And that's difficult for some of us to say, Lord, I'm going to go wherever and do whatever you've called me to do. But I'd say that sometimes we know what he's called us to do. It's clear to us what he's called us to do, where to go or what we're supposed to do, and we just don't want to give up the control because we just don't really want to do it because we're fearful of stepping out into the deep. You know, I think there's folks that can, they've listened to things he had to say, they've read things that he had to say, they can quote the scripture, they can even teach others, but they're just a little nervous about launching out into the deep. So I question, if we're not willing to launch out in the deep when he says go, are we really following him? We might be able to quote all kinds of Bible verses, but are we really following him if we're not willing to go out into deep waters, out into unknown territory? I don't think it's enough to know who he is, because, you know, there was There was a lot of people that went around behind Jesus and listened to his teaching. And some of them even eat the miraculous fish that he did when he broke the fish, right? But I don't know that the Bible teaches us that all of those people followed him. They moved around after him, but I don't know that they followed him. Are you with me? Because whenever the times got rough, they all scattered. We see that he had a large following, if you will, a lot of people behind him, and then there was a lot less people behind him. So just because they heard the words doesn't mean that they followed him. You know, because it's hard to follow Christ. You know, there's a lot of preachers and a lot of people that say, hey, everything's going to be better if you follow Christ. And they paint the picture that it's going to be roses, right? And it is going to be better. It's just not easy all the time. Because sometimes it's hard to follow Christ. It's better, right? We can have joy, but it doesn't mean that the times are going to be easier, because he's going to take us into the deep sometimes. He's going to take us to places we don't want to go. He might take us into the storm, right? He might call us to a place where there's going to be a storm. And I think about some of my best memories in life. There was a storm involved. You know, I've got some pretty good fishing stories about storms being involved and being caught out in the middle of a storm. I've got some pretty good motorcycle stories about being caught out in a storm riding a motorcycle. And some of my best memories are during those times. And then I think about my spiritual memories, and my best spiritual memories are during those storms and him seeing me through it. You know, those are exciting times. Sometimes it doesn't feel a good exciting when they're happening, right? Sometimes there's insurity, but once we get through that storm, we have something to tell because we've grown, we've experienced. And we're not going to grow if we don't go through the storm, if we don't seek him during those times, because those are the times that we really see him work. You know, he'll take us to places that we don't feel safe. Some years ago, I was in the middle of the Boone County Leadership course, and one of the things that we do during that is we would go down to Little Rock, and there was a ropes course that we would go on. And I don't know if any of y'all ever got to be on a ropes course, but it's pretty interesting. They got you about 30 foot above the ground, and I'm not really excited about being too high above the ground. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I won't say I'm scared of heights. I just really don't like them and try to stay out of that situation, right? And we get up at a ropes course, and you're up there for a while. And, yeah, you're doing the clips, and you're doing all that. So, you know, there's some safety involved. But before long, you forget that you're up there. You forget that you're 30 foot above the ground. Because it just kind of falls away, and the only thing you're seeing is what's going on in front of you. And I think when we start walking out on faith, at some point, you forget that, hey, He's got me in a place that I wouldn't normally want to hang out. He's got me somewhere where maybe is not real comfortable, but I'm just getting used to it as I'm up there. You know, because I know that I was on that ropes course, if I'm doing my clips and doing everything, that if I slip and fall, the cable's got me, right? And when we're out on faith, I know that if I fall, He's got me. And you say, well, what about all the people that have been martyred or injured? Did the Lord not have them? You know, if we really believe what we say we believe, if we believe what we sing, to die is gain, amen? And if He calls us to it and we end up martyred, does He not truly still have us? And if we're not able to say so, then maybe we need to have another conversation with Him. But He'll take us to places that we don't feel safe. He'll take us to the other side, if you will. And He'll lead us to do things that we never dreamed that was possible. And I think we see that in this story. And I'm going to ask as Matt comes up to sing a hymn invitation this morning, you know, are you following Christ this morning? Is there something He's calling you to do that you just haven't surrendered your will? Maybe He's calling you for the first time. Maybe you've never received Him as your personal Savior, and you're here this morning, and you're saying, I've never stepped out and surrendered my will to Him for salvation. I'm going to ask you to come this morning, and we'll talk about that. Maybe, you know, there's times that, like I say, you need to trust Him as your Savior. Maybe it means that you just need to answer the call that you know that He's got on your life. Maybe there's something else that He's dealing with you on. But whatever it is, I'm going to encourage you not to delay this morning. What are we singing?
182.
182, if everybody's singing.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Trials and temptation. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
All right. right. What's happening tonight? We got our first night of the Jonah study, so if you're not plugged in, you know, let's get you plugged in or be here at 6 at the church, right? 6? All right. So you can be here for that one as well. All right. I don't think I have any other announcements to make for this week. So, Roger, would you dismiss in word prayer?